podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect.
Obsession.
In every aspect of the game.
Being obsessed.
Scott fires over the middle, and it's intercepted at the 26-yard line. Roquan Smith. Scott's going to go for it all. A jump on the end zone, picked off at the goal line. Look out. Safety. Eddie Goldman comes through the middle to plant Goff in the end zone.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
Dang. Lucky.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Vote for Pedro Sanchez. Who do you think?
It's freaking awesome.
Man, I wish I could go back in time.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Keaton Hicks scored a touchdown last week. Throws and it's caught by Bradley Soule, lineman. Goff fires and that one is picked off. Kyle Fuller. Goff, can the Rams stay alive? They can't. Another interception. Luke Kamara this time. An exclamation point if ever you've seen one.
Obsession.
My oh my!
Being obsessed.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Well, there you go. Welcome in episode 200.
Wow.
Of the Hogan
Johns. Not us. The game. Wow.
Well, I was going to
say... Well, for us, too.
I was going to say it's a milestone episode.
Very good.
And a milestone night. The Bears delivered in primetime.
I liked it.
What a performance by the Chicago Bears defense, we should say. But, honestly, if you had told me Mitch Trubisky would play that bad in this football game, I would have said the Bears would have no chance. And that moment in the first half when the defense sets him up at the four-yard line... And that actually wasn't all on Mitch. There's penalty after penalty. They go backwards.
Yeah, it was bad.
And
bad
they don't
sequence.
Score. I'm like, they're not going to win this game because you just can't squander an opportunity like that against
didn't
the
you
Rams.
Have a tweet that was like, don't forget they're the Rams?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
You
because
did.
That's all true. The Bears have.
Yeah, they are the Rams.
The Bears' defense has been terrible in the fourth quarter this year. That's just a reality. And this was the game. They put it all together, four quarters, completely dominant. And somehow Jared Goff was even worse than Mitch Trubisky was.
He looked cold and like he did not want to be here at one point. He did make a couple impressive throws. But for a guy who has been praised to no end for his third year in this league, bad, bad game.
Well, welcome in. This was a big one. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read all of our reaction at WGNRadio.com and ChicagoSunTimes.com. Got plenty of reaction from the locker room to bring you here on the podcast, including the reaction to Bradley Soule's touchdown.
Santa's sleigh.
Santa's sleigh. What a name. I mean, at least it didn't have to do with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. We could go on. We could make a whole podcast about the names.
The names, exactly.
Santa's sleigh.
But, I mean, let's talk big picture here. Just your reaction to the win. You thought the Rams were going to win, but you didn't feel good about your pick.
I thought the Bears could play with them, but that included a decent performance from the offense.
Right. They did run the ball well today.
100. I'll pat myself on the back for that
prediction.
One. Came through. First time all season or for a long time.
And ironically, I predicted the game right, but was way off on my ball prediction.
Yeah, Trubisky
I think I said
did not have that type of day. Three interceptions.
Four touchdowns? Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, did not have that type of day. Look, we all thought he would be better. The numbers said he should have been better. I think the layoff definitely played a role in this one. Just looked off the entire game minus one drive, the first drive they had in the second half after the safety. Just looked off the entire way, I thought. But look, we're talking big picture.
Yeah.
Statement win. This defense can win you a championship.
Wait, you said a championship?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
You called me out on the
Super
Bowl.
Yes, I did.
All right, just making sure.
Yes, yes. It's a championship caliber defense.
It is. But
shut me up.
But you know what's funny about this? We're almost both flipping here. You're saying that, and I'm about to say what I'm going to say.
Flip
because look, this is all good here at Soldier Field, but you're going to have to beat that team in L.A., or you're going to have to beat the Saints in New Orleans,
right.
Most likely.
Right. I get that.
And you need your quarterback to play a lot better.
What's
than
the old
today.
Saying? Oh, absolutely.
Because if this defense holds Drew Brees to 6 points in the Superdome, then they shouldn't even have to play the Super Bowl. Yeah, no. They should just automatically get the trophy.
They
right
get the
there.
Trophy there. Season's over.
It'll be like when the Bears won in 85. It would just be like, you know, okay, you got to play.
Let's do the shuffle.
You
got to
play the game, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah, forget it, you know, whoever that may be in the Super Bowl. But, hey, what's the old saying, though? Defense travels.
And they win championships.
It does. It does. The fourth quarter problems didn't show up today. They made big plays. They were in Jared Goff's face. The coverage, I thought, was exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the Rams made their plays. They made some. Not many, but they made some. But the coverage overall was exceptional.
The pass rush was relentless. Everybody played well.
Yeah.
Leonard Floyd played
well.
Aaron Lynch played well. Jonathan Bullard forced one of those interceptions because he pushed
Roquan Smith first.
He pushed Whitworth right back into him as he was throwing. They were just good across the board. You know, you and I were talking as we were waiting to get in the locker room, and it's like, Sherrick McManus led the team in tackles. Like, this was a game where you look at the stats and there's not really anything that jumps out to you in terms of who was the best player on the field. It was just, that was a team defensive performance across the board.
Since we're on the stat page, you're not on the defensive stat page there with your game book, but
I can be.
Flip through it and tell me what Aaron Donald did today, just in terms you mentioned, strong defensive performance, best player on the field. Aaron Donald, who was billed as a possible MVP candidate, not defensive player of the year, but MVP candidate, what did he do tonight?
Aaron Donald's official line, one tackle, one solo tackle, one assisted tackle, for a total of two combined tackles, and he had one quarterback hit, which I don't even remember. But he did get credited with a quarterback hit.
Yes. How about that?
I thought James Daniels did a tremendous job. You should feel really good about your second-round pick. Now, they brought him a lot of help throughout the game.
Well, every team does that against Aaron
Donald. You have to. But listening to Matt Nagy, we'll play you Matt Nagy here in a little bit. And actually, I sat down with James Daniels in the locker room, too, for a couple minutes. We'll play that. Just hearing Nagy talk after the game, you could tell the number one focus from the moment they got in their meetings this week to start preparing for this game was number 99 on the Rams.
They circled him three times.
And he even said that this was a unique game play calling wise for him. And I followed up and asked him why. And again, you'll be able to hear this exactly. But essentially what I got out of it was they were so worried about Aaron Donald and his ability to always straight. He said, if you watch any tape, Aaron Donald has that one game-wrecking play that changes everything. And they were so conscious of that and so worried about that that it impacted his play calling down the stretch, which I would say was the most conservative we've seen.
All the runs, yes. All the runs.
Which was fine because it was working. And I honestly did not have a problem with him calling runs on two third and longs there late in the game, especially because you couldn't afford to turn the ball over, and Mitch, you couldn't trust him tonight.
Yep.
That's just the reality.
And the Rams needed two scores. You're right. Trusting your defense.
Right.
Feel your defense was there. They were owning the Rams offense.
Pat Fitzgerald says a punt is a good play. So sometimes tonight in this game, a punt was a good play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not a failed play.
And Pat O'Donnell had a nice game,
yes,
too.
Yes, you avoided the game-wrecking play. Significant. Look, Trubisky was not good. It's not sugarcoated. He was bad. Now, you can give him the out by saying this was his first game since November 18th against the Vikings. That's true. But he was bad.
I think there's something to be said for the rust factor, and this is me saying this without looking back at the tape. We'll see what it looks like when we go through it. But my reaction watching him tonight was he looked like the Trubisky we saw the first 3 weeks of the season, which was everything was rushed. The game was not slow for him. His footwork would break down. His mechanics would break down. He would rush his throws, and it would sail on him. Now, we've seen glimpses of that throughout the season, but really, if you go back and think about those first three games, thinking about the Cardinals game specifically, at times the first 2 weeks, everything was just moving quickly for him, and I thought that's how he looked tonight, just sort of out of sync and rushed and was not going through his progressions. He was really only getting his first read, and if it was not open, now I don't know if this is completely true, but Dan Hampton, when I was on with him on our postgame show, said he was 0 for 7 when he tried to go to his second or third read tonight.
Well, that's also tough to tell, and nobody really knows that until Matt Nagy comes out and says that.
Correct. But I do think whether that's accurate, that over seven number, I think just watching the game that looked
no, he did not look comfortable.
Pretty
no, he didn't look comfortable at all.
Yeah,
did not. You could even say he didn't look comfortable going to his first read on some play.
So I would say I think the rust factor kind of would explain that.
Yeah, there was the one. Was it intercepted? The overthrow, the Trey Burton over the middle. I mean, the Josh Bellamy one was egregious. Sometimes I wonder if Josh Bellamy is just not in the right place at the right time in some of those because it's been the case.
Look open.
We did play the Mike Fury audio last week, so you do have that happen sometimes. But he was open. He went to the open guy and he overthrew it. But the Trey, was there a Trey Burton one where he sailed it to a bit, and that's when he kind of stared him down as well. But look, it was an off night. It clearly was. It was from the get-go. Other than that one drive in the third quarter, he didn't look good all night.
Well, you weren't in the press conference to ask him about his interception. So
I was not there.
We didn't ask him.
I was not there.
Because you weren't there.
Yeah.
No, but honestly...
Who asked this time?
Well, here's the thing.
This is very important, Adam. Who asked the question?
No one did. And what I'm getting at was he was so open and honest about how poorly he was playing.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel compelled to ask him specifically about his interceptions because I thought they were all obvious.
Yeah.
Like, he sailed the ball, or they had that one where he, I don't know what he was thinking with the zone coverage under, and he just didn't see it. There's no other explanation. When he threw the ball to the right sideline and just got picked off, I mean, that's a normal zone coverage that he tried to throw the ball over. That's just, it's not that complicated stuff. So
he forced it. At a bad time, he forced it.
That's the one negative of an otherwise unbelievable.
Oh, that's the interception
win
that preceded the Kyle Fuller one right away.
Oh, yeah. You're right. They got it right back on the next play.
Yeah. Not a good game by Trubisky. Do you want to play him now?
Here, let's do this. Let's save Trubisky for the end. I don't want to get stuck in this negative energy with such
a
huge win. Okay? Here's what I want to do. Let's focus on Santa's sleigh. Ho, 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 Christmas came early, right?
You practiced that line.
Well, my son's been just
everybody loves
all
Santa.
Over the house going ho, 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 like nonstop. He's excited for Christmas, and he should be. Maybe he was excited about Santa's sleigh tonight. What a play. Four defensive linemen on the field. I mean, we've seen like one, and then there was two, and then there was three. Now we got four defensive linemen on the field.
Plus Bradley Sowell.
So you have zero wide receivers, zero running backs, zero tight ends on the field. That's a play that just got ran in the National Football League for a touchdown. Yeah. And you had only two guys ran routes. You had Akeem Hicks in the backfield. Everything about this play is remarkable. You had play action to a defensive tackle that worked. That worked. Because he scored a touchdown on it last week. You had two lead blockers in Jonathan Bullard and Bilal Nichols.
Yeah. I'm laughing. I thought it was absurd when they were lining it up. I'm like, what the heck are they doing?
It sounds absurd, but everyone thought that Akeem Hicks was just going to get the handoff.
And plow his way through.
He probably would have gotten in. And then, meanwhile, you had two guys run routes. You had Roy Robertson Harris on the left side run a crossing route over. And then you had underneath Bradley Sowell, who, by the way, made an incredible catch.
Yeah, he wasn't exactly open.
he made an incredible catch and caught the ball. I mean, it's one of the more remarkable plays I've ever seen. And it's called Santa's sleigh.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen what? Oompa Loompa, Willy Wonka. What are some of the other ones? I'm blanking right now. Those are the first three that come.
Those are the ones I remember.
To my head. But there's been a few.
Well, here was the reaction. They open the doors of the locker room, and everyone goes to Bradley Sowell. Because, hey, in a football game between the Rams and the Bears, that was the only touchdown scored. And isn't that crazy?
That did not just dawn on me until right now.
I know.
That Bradley Sowell is the only one to score a touchdown.
He's the only one.
On the field tonight.
So all the media goes to his locker to talk to him, and this was what happened.
We need a place. They gave it to the playmaker, I guess. I don't know. Let's just enjoy this together. I mean, it was neat. We had it in all week. It's one of those things. I'm glad Nagy trusted me to do it. You know, he tried to throw to me earlier in the season, got a little flag for it, and You know, he went back to me, and it worked out great.
Bad boys can catch too. Let's go.
The name of the play was Santa Slay. Yes. So it was pretty cool, and the operation behind it was pretty neat. I mean, all five of us had a report eligible, so it was quite operation into it. So it was pretty neat.
Has your coach told all the linemen that he's going to get everybody a touchdown?
Let's go. Yeah,
I mean, with Nagy, you never know. Just show up that week, and you may be in there ready to roll. So we got to be on alert with him.
So how much did you have to ask?
So, like, it was quite a scene at Bradley Soule's locker. And you got Charles Leno stand. I mean, those were all his teammates there that were cheering and going crazy about what happened and giving him all the credit. And I think you heard Charles Leno in there at one point say, "Fat guy scored touchdowns, too."
It's 2 weeks in a row.
That's what they do. And they're having a lot of fun, and they should.
The atmosphere is just—it's so different. They handle defeats better. You know, I'm getting at here just in terms of Matt Nagy's demeanor and his even keelness. I'm spouting off all sorts of cliches here, but it's becoming very evident to me that the highs and lows, everything you want to, every coach speak we could throw out there right now, they've bought into him. They really have. It's evident.
No, there's no question.
How about the atmosphere though tonight? The air raid siren.
Yeah, you were really focused on that after the game.
I felt like it was right above me in the press box.
A lot of cranky media did not like there.
No, it's fine. I wasn't cranky about it.
A lot of people were though.
Yeah. It was all like the press box announcer, or not the press, the PA announcer, consistently telling people to get up and get loud.
Hey, if they need to be told.
Yeah, you know, to be fair to Bears fans though, Adam, they have not gotten a lot to cheer about.
No.
Over the past 3 or 4 years. Let's not forget Brett Hundley has won here. Blaine Gabbert has won here. Some awful quarterbacks have won here. So this is different. This is different. I mean, they even announced the game time temperature twice during the game. In my column in the Chicago Sun-Times tomorrow, I call it psychological warfare. The air raid siren. Them telling the Rams in the first quarter it was 26 degrees, then telling them again in the third quarter that it was 17 degrees. They've never done that before.
They did not look like they were enjoying the weather.
They felt cold.
At all.
They felt cold. They looked cold.
They were over at my alma mater yesterday, St. Ignatius, trying to get used to the weather and their walkthrough.
Yeah.
Apparently it didn't work.
No. Yeah. Well, I was going to make an Ignatius joke.
You could, but
it just didn't dawn on me.
I didn't see an NFL team at Notre Dame this weekend.
Who won in the playoffs, Adam? Who got to the semifinals?
Hey, I'm just amazed. When I went to Ignatius, we didn't have a football team. Now there's an NFL team that's practicing there.
Okay.
So let me enjoy it.
Yeah, okay. All right. If you say so.
All right. Getting back to the Aaron Donald.
Getting back to this game.
But you're right. I mean, Aaron Donald, they just totally negated him. James Daniels, I'm looking forward to going back and watching this tape. I mean, there was a lot of double teams, but there were also a couple times where James Daniels stepped up. And I mean, just the thought of a rookie going up against Aaron Donald and performing well, it was pretty good. So anyway,
it was a good night for the 39th overall buck. It was
probably the offensive line's best game tonight. I found James Daniels in the locker room afterward, and this was the conversation. So you guys knew you guys had a really tough test today with Aaron Donald. How'd you feel like you did?
I would have to watch the film, but after the game, I felt like we did a pretty good job with containing him.
What was the plan, just kind of bringing extra guys at times, and then I don't know how often you were just one-on-one, but what exactly was the plan? Because it seemed like it worked.
I mean, the only plan we had was realize where he was, realize where everybody in the defense was, and what was the play, what did we need to get done on the play. And so I think as the offense line, we just realized that if he's here, we need to get him blocked like this so we can have a good play. It's just things like that. I feel like that was something that really helped us.
And you guys got Jordan over 100 yards tonight. Just in general, it seemed like the running game was working pretty well. That's got to be a pretty good feeling for you guys up front.
Yeah, it's a really good feeling to be able to run the ball. because it's hard to win games when you're just passing the ball. So be able to, I think that's one of the reasons why we won tonight, is because we established the run game.
What was the feeling like in this locker room after getting such a big win like that?
It's nice. I mean that's why we play football. I mean, we play football for each other. And last week we didn't play nowhere near as good as we were capable of playing. This week we didn't play either, but it's just nice to be able to get that feeling and just protect Soldier Field and just celebrate with the teammates.
So you kind of get the sense there in that conversation too, just how much of their game plan was focused on stopping Aaron Donald. I mean, James said that, you know, basically every play they knew where he was. You're focused on stopping him to make sure the play works. And as bad as the Bears offense really was tonight, it was really on the quarterback. Whereas I actually thought that, like, Sean McVay, who I respect a ton as a coach and a play caller, and did all week coming into this, had no answers to what the Bears defense. That was the difference between the two sides.
There were times, as bad as Trubisky looked at sometimes, where I felt that they were moving the ball better than the Rams.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way? There's just certain spurts where you felt like they were more in control. As tight as the game was, they felt in control. Well, at least to me.
Yeah, they were in control the whole game. What are the final time of possession numbers? Let me look that up real quick. Because I think that time of possession, 36, 49 to 23, 11.
Okay.
I mean, that speaks to what you're talking about right now.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, it's very evident. To me, it makes me feel good about my feel for the game, actually, a little bit there. I get my Jordan Howard over, and I feel good about myself. You know,
that's a big one.
You know, we're all feeling pretty good right now. But, look, Trubisky did not have a pretty game whatsoever. But when Aaron Donald's name is barely mentioned, I don't care how many guys you used on him. Some of those plays, James Daniels was one-on-one for the majority of the play. Sure, Cody Whitehair may have slid over every now and then. Sure, someone came out of the backfield and helped chip. But when one of the best defensive players in the league, the reigning defensive player of the year, is barely mentioned, that's a good night. It's a good plan.
Well, I still think Khalil Mack has a ways to go to close the gap in terms of, like, defensive player of the year.
Well, you don't think they had a plan for him as well?
But what I'm getting at, though, is I thought he flashed to me a lot more tonight than Aaron Donald did.
That's true.
Here's Mack's line for what it's worth. He had two solo tackles, one assisted tackle. He had a sack and a forced fumble. He forced that one fumble on Goff. So, yeah, that'd be a better night than...
Yeah.
And both teams were focused on those two guys. The Bears have a lot more going for them, though, across the defense.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks was noticeable. And I guarantee
Eddie Goldman with the – we should have brought that up earlier. The safety to start the third quarter. What a play that
was.
What
a turnaround. First of all, that drive, I think, began – or those that two-play drive the Rams had, it began with another tackle for loss on Todd Gurley, right? Wasn't he run out of bounds for like a couple yard loss there?
Leonard Floyd. They left unblocked on the left side, and he just kind of was there and took him right out of bounds. I thought Leonard played great, other than that one missed tackle in the third quarter, right as I tweeted that he was having a good game.
well, you know, that's just karma for
that's
you.
That's how
when,
that
when
works.
When you pick Mitch Trubisky to throw four touchdowns in a game like this, you know, you just weren't feeling it, Adam. I get it, even though I didn't pick
the Bears. Wait a minute. I'm the one who picked the Bears to win.
It was Hicks. It was Goldman. It was Bullard. Bull rushing Whitworth. It was Roquan Smith. I felt like Roquan Smith could have had two or three interceptions tonight. Prince Mukamara could have definitely had two or three interceptions tonight. Back-to-back plays where he dropped interceptions. Kyle Fuller was good again. Eddie Jackson, the intercept the Hail Mary pass. The coverage was exceptional.
And give Sherrick McManus credit, too, for coming in.
Your guy.
The way
stepping
he
in, yeah.
I saw some guys in the locker room specifically stop by Sherrick's locker, you know, just say great job filling in. Now the Bears got to hope that's not a serious injury because Bryce Callahan's been huge.
Yeah, well, it's never a good sign when a guy goes to immediately out and doubtful.
I didn't see him at all in the locker room,
no,
did you?
No, not a good sign.
So they got to hope that that's not, you know, a season ender We don't really know much more than it's a foot injury right now, though. Vic Fangio did a lot of different things in the second half to kind of compensate for that, too. Leonard Floyd was in the slot a couple times. Khalil Mack was dropping back into coverage, but they were all ready for it. I mean, they shut out the Rams in the second half of a football game. They didn't. This is the first time under Sean McVay they haven't scored a touchdown.
It's impressive, man.
Some remarkable stuff that happened tonight at Soldier Field.
So the cold could be used like as an argument for further off game, but that only goes to a certain point.
Sure.
When you're that talented, when you're 11-1 and your one loss is on the road against the Saints, where it was a high scoring affair, this is different. This should be a humbling. Sean McVay used the word himself. Very humbling experience for the Rams tonight. Very humbling.
And they're still a really good football team. And I mean, how I gotta say, it'd be kind of cool to see that be the NFC Championship game in LA. You know, more neutral type conditions. You know, the Bears would invade the Coliseum in terms of the fans. Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of a neutral site game, to be honest with you. And
maybe someone will bring an air raid siren.
Maybe. But it would be.
See, I had that thought too, and I don't know if the defense would be able to replicate a performance like this.
Probably not.
But the offense should be better.
It should.
Mitch Trubisky at that point would not be returning off a 2-game layoff. He'd have more confidence in his shoulder. He'd be settled in again, or at least you would hope the things that he experienced today would not factor in down the road, especially if you're talking about an NFC Championship game. If you're talking about a title game like that, even if it is the conference championship, you're talking about some growth and some development from your quarterback.
And there's still time for that here. Let's hear from Matt Nagy. What he had to think about Mitch's performance. He had some really nice things to say about the crowd as well. Here's the head coach after a huge Bears victory, his best victory in his short tenure so far as the Bears head coach.
All right, I'll start off first with injuries. Bryce Callahan has a left foot, so he'll be evaluated. We'll see how that goes here in the next several days. You know, number one, I have to make sure that our fans understand how amazing that was. Absolutely amazing. And we're so thankful. And, you know, in there we gave the game ball to the city and to the fans. And that's what it's all about. This is all about us and doing this thing together. Our players appreciate it. It was absolutely electrifying from the start to the finish. I mean, it was just powerful. And so we appreciate that. You know, our play on defense, what for me, all I could say was, wow. I know, it was one that I haven't seen in a long, long time against such a powerful opponent. And I want to make sure that I give a lot of credit to Coach McVay and his players. They're an amazing football team. They do things the right way. They coach the right way. They play the right way. You know, there's a reason why they have the best record in the NFL. And so, but our guys stepped up to the challenge. And that was what was important to us. We talked all week about we and not me. And they hung together. And so as sluggish as we were on offense, and that's a credit to Coach Phillips and their defense, how they played, our defense just really, really played on another level. And they it was a unique game for me as a play caller in just how you call the plays and why you call them for certain situations. And, you know, field position was at a ultimate with our defense the way they were playing. So I also want to special teams wise, I thought we did a great job other than the fake punt. And I know we had to miss field goal in that there at the end of the game, but Pat O'Donnell with the punts and that field position in these times are so huge, and our gunners going down there and getting the ball was great. Offensively, as you could tell in the pass game, you know, we weren't clicking as much. And again, I'm going to give credit to Coach Phillips there. That I thought they had some good stuff that they did. But our run game, our guys, our offensive line against that defensive front that we just saw, I thought did a really good job. And they hung together. They stuck together. Coach Hestan, he's been doing a great job all week long at focusing on trying to get, you know, going in the run game and then in pass protection. you know, Aaron Donald is special. So we did enough in the end, and I'm just so proud of our guys. It was a big week for us, but now we got to enjoy it tonight and get ready for next week.
So third and goal from the two, you send in three defensive linemen into the offensive huddle.
How many?
Four.
Right, four. No, it's okay. I'm just testing you.
Your train of thought, is that just typical of the kind of year this has been for you?
No, we like that stuff. We like it. And so our guys like it. I like it. Our offensive coaches like it. We've had success with it. And those guys execute it. And so you know, that's part of, you know, it doesn't mean that we're going to do it all the time, but if the situation hits and we feel like it, we'll have some ready for it, and that's what we did.
What did you think of the catch on that play?
I thought it was very impressive, but to everybody else. But, you know, Bradley, in practice, he does some unique things for being a big offensive lineman, and, I mean, that was a complete thumbs catch. And he just looked it in. The ball was up high. I mean, that was an unbelievable catch. Great throw, too. And that's it, you know, great throw.
Does that play have a name?
Yeah, Santa's Slay.
Who named that?
We did. We named it.
Is there a fear of 12 300-pounders drawing up plays for you on Monday? Like, is that going to be every...
Oh, they're already doing it. Our defensive coaches now are coming up with names, too. So they're having fun.
What was your overall impression of how Mitch played today?
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at it numbers wise, I think there were some throws that, you know, some of the interceptions sailed on him a little bit. It wasn't his best game, but you know what? I told him, I said, who cares? Who cares? I mean, we're about winning the games, and so he knows that we can all play better. It's not all on him, and so he's going to get better from it. The whole time, you know, we talked again with our team about the next play mentality, and this was a game for us offensively that you had to have that, and the defense had to have it too because they were doing so well. They can't get lazy. They got to keep it going, and so these are the ones that you look back. For myself as a coach and for him as a quarterback, and you grow from. And again, as I've always said, when you win the game, it's a lot easier to critique and understand the why part and use it to help you down the road. So in the end, do I care? Can we be better as an offense? Yes. Do I care about numbers? Not one bit.
You just beat the best team in the NFL, a team averaging 35 points to six, you held them to six. What does this say about your team in this season?
Well, it's you know, our guys have worked hard to put ourselves in this position. It's not easy, and it started for just the belief at the very beginning when we started in training camp, and then you start having some different types of games, some different wins, some different losses, and you know what was really interesting to me, and I felt it last night at the hotel, and I felt it throughout the week, was there was a looseness to our guys. It was not the stage wasn't going to be too big for them. They were almost they were really anticipating this, and that's fun. That's why we do what we do, is for these opportunities. And we completely know how good of a team the Rams are, and that they're going to be there in the end. And so I just for tonight. Tonight, our guys did what we had to do to win.
Man, as good as your defense has been all season, there's been lapses or lulls here every once in a while, especially in the losses. What was different about tonight that they played four great quarters and held such a good team to only 6 points?
Yeah, we were able to keep them a little bit out of rhythm. You know, you didn't see a lot of first downs where it was just first down after first down after first down. There were some incomplete passes that our defense, a lot of pass breakups, turnovers. And so when that happens, it's hard. It's hard as an offensive play caller when you don't get into a rhythm. And so a credit to Coach Fangio and the rest of those coaches for putting our players and having a great week of practice into a way of having us succeed. The other thing I want to do, too, is I want to make sure that some of our practice squad players get a little bit of a shout-out, because that's a little they sometimes people don't understand. We have some guys on our practice squad and guys that don't get recognized on game day for giving us great looks in practice, and they deserve a big-time credit for doing that. And sometimes those things can get overlooked, but we appreciate that.
On the punt play before the half, what was the explanation you got from the referees? I know there was obviously like an interference with the referee or whatever, but
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what. You know, I apologized to them at halftime. The one gentleman referee, he got knocked down by one of our linemen, and so. He couldn't tell what was going on, and so he had to call stop and play. And in that time, and it's such a crucial time of the game, and in a crucial situation that you prep for all week long, and then for that to happen. But really, in the end, you know, we didn't execute it like we should have, and we ran into him, and he fell down. So he did the right thing, and so I apologized and told him I need to be better than that, and I need to make sure that we do it better next time.
And the risk you run, the risk you run on that type of play is you have to run it and still give them chance to
yeah, substitute. Yeah, they still have a chance to substitute.
Was it close? I mean, would you have been able to pull it off to where there's still time on the clock?
Well, the whole schematic part of the play was fine.
Okay.
What wasn't fine was that we bowled over the referee. You can't do that.
Matt, you said earlier that this was kind of a unique game for you play calling-wise. What did you mean by that?
Well, it became one where you could see how we were doing on defense. And so, and you know what they have on defense with 99. And so you want to make sure what I saw all season is there's one play in the game that he makes that flips the field and just flips the way the game's going. And so I felt very comfortable with our defense with field position. I felt very comfortable with being able to do some of the things we were doing in the run game. And so it was a little different in regards to that. And sometimes that happens. And so I need to make sure that I put our offense in the best situation possible. And then really our team. It was a field position game, really. I mean, it was 15-6 forever, you know.
I know you guys talk about taking it week by week, blinders on, all that sort of stuff. Do you have a sense for what beating an 11-1 team means for the perception of you by the fans, by the league, all of that sort of stuff?
Well, it's a great win for us, and I think more than anything is it's going to continue to keep letting our guys understand that every team in the NFL – every game is different. So last week against the Giants, that game's going to be different than the following week, and there's so much parity. But the belief of our guys, so they hear me talk about it, but now to do it, for them to go out and do it, for a team that only have one loss all year long and into as far as the season as we are, it's so powerful for our guys now because it helps us grow with confidence. It helps us grow togetherness. And when you teach that and you talk about it over and over and over, as a culture, as a building, everyone together as a family, and then they do it, it just lights a fire, and it just it puts us in a great position. And so we do talk about one game at a time, and so now they're going to enjoy tonight, and then we're going to get right back in and get ready for next week.
A wedding bouquet celebration? You ever seen that?
Nope.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, so the celebration was the bouquet of flowers. Wait, was that on the interception or the touchdown? No.
That was Roquan Smith's interception.
That's right. They did the bouquet of flowers. And again, it sounded... I mean, Pat Finley was trying to get negative. Talk about the celebration.
He probably he can't see it. We've learned that. Like, yeah. If he doesn't have a good vantage point... Because he's buried in his play sheet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's already thinking about the next series, or he's talking to Dave Ragone on the sideline. He's already thinking about what's next.
Right.
He did not experience the bouquet bride toss.
And the game ball went to the city of Chicago and the fans. That's how you win them over, John Z. That's how you win them over. Now, are they going to mail a football to every single Bears fan?
It's a lot of fans.
It is.
The bandwagon's getting full.
Yeah. You think Sean McVay knows who Eddie Goldman is now?
Ooh, I was waiting for you to bring that up.
Our listeners were all over that one on Twitter.
Yeah.
Credit you guys for that.
You know, looking back at it, like,
I think we'll have a voicemail or two about
that,
too.
So I listened to that video again, or watched that video again after you specifically did detailed work on that to rip Sean McVay. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that was very unimpressive. Like, of course. Now, I appreciated Wade Phillips.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, yes, and he pronounced Trubisky as Trubinsky.
Trubinsky.
And Chase Daniel became Chase Daniels, which, you know, he's talking like a total, you know, Chicago Bears fan from, you know, Belmont and Cragen or something like that. It was almost too too fitting. I know I wasn't alone in tweeting, hey, it's Eddie Goldman, the guy Sean McVay didn't mention, but such an unsung hero of that defensive front. Really is. You know, in terms of, we've mentioned so many players as Pro Bowl caliber.
Oh, he should be
one. He's a Pro Bowl talent. He just has to do so much dirty work that allows all the other guys to build those impressive statistics that make him Pro Bowl All-Pro guys.
Well, then there was no better picture of that, actually, than in the locker room. Now, part of this was just timing, but a whole swarm of media, including you and me, talking to Akeem Hicks. And Akeem Hicks is talking about how happy he was for Eddie Goldman to get that moment because he doesn't get a lot of attention and he does all the dirty work. And I look over to my left and Eddie Goldman standing right there talking to one reporter.
Fitting.
Yeah.
Poor nose tackles.
But
he's one of the best in the game.
But you and I have been on that all season. And anyone who watches the tape, especially from the end zone angle, you just see it every week how much he is really doing to open things up for other guys and stop the run. He's an incredible player, and that was just a huge play in this game to get that safety. And Hicks was on it too. You know, that was a play where, honestly, Hicks kind of helped Goldman get that safety and that sack. So, good for Eddie Goldman, though, in that moment. And just all around, what a performance by the Bears defense. Unfortunately, the quarterback struggled. You're going to hear from Mitch here. You're going to hear Mitch basically admit that and be pretty disappointed in his play. Actually get pretty candid about his own feelings and how he was trying not to be selfish about being down because this was such a big win for the team. But here he is, Mitch Trubisky, after this game, including three interceptions against the Rams.
Mitch, what did you think of that touchdown catch from your offensive lineman?
It was awesome. It was awesome. He was telling me earlier in the week, he's like, hey, even if I'm covered, throw it up there, I'll bring it down. And it was just great execution all the way around. Bradley got open, and I threw it up to him. He made a heck of a catch. So it was a big-time play, and very excited for him to get the opportunity and make a big play for this team.
What was working for you on that drive? Coming out of halftime.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little RPO game, running the ball. They played a lot more zone than we expected, and we were just able to get a good rhythm going coming out of halftime. And defense obviously did a great job all night and just gave us good field position. And we were just rolling down there, getting first downs, and just positive plays that we were able to get going. So I think we just need to find what works and get it going and stick to it. And we did what we had to do.
What was harder for you tonight? Was it the cold, or was it, you know, you hadn't played two games and you needed to get into some sort of kind of rhythm?
I don't know. I wouldn't say the cold affected me at all. Not playing 2 weeks, I don't know if that affected tonight, but I know it definitely sucked being out for me. Mentally, I think I just need to be better all the way around. I was pretty amped and anxious coming out for this game because I was out for 2 weeks. But, I mean, that had nothing to do with the way I played. I think I just need to settle down, be better with my footwork, and try not to do too much. As there were times I was just trying to do too much, make a play. I don't know if that's something I was doing mentally from sitting out for 2 weeks, just coming out here trying to put on a show and make big plays. I just need to go in there and do my job. But I'm very fortunate to be a part of this team. The guys continued to believe in me, stick by me, and we pulled through on offense, and the defense had our backs all night, just making big plays, getting turnovers, and shutting down a really good offense. So it was a great team win.
Mitch, how would you describe the spark of Big Eddie's safety to start the second half?
Yeah, it was crazy. It really set the tone for the second half. We knew if we just created positive plays on offense, our defense was going to shut them down. And they set the tone all night. There's nothing that they could have done to get going. The defense made up their minds that they were going to shut them down, and it was absolutely outstanding. I think the offense fed off of it a little bit in the second half and got us going. But we need to continue to have their backs because they played lights out, and if we could do that, we could start to be really dominant. But like I said, it's a great team win, and the defense, I mean, it was really fun to watch. It was fun to watch, seriously.
What's the biggest thing you've come to appreciate about that group this year?
Well, I was just talking to some of them in the locker room, and I've come to appreciate how smart they are and how they all play together. So we got guys in every single spot on defense that can make plays and make game-changing plays, and they play hard, they play together, and they play smart. So, I mean, you couldn't ask for more on defense and what they're doing, how they're giving effort, how they're studying, and how they come out here and shut people down. So we just need to get that going all the way around, all three phases, especially on offense, which falls on me. So I just need to go back to work this week and continue to get better and feed off what that defense is doing.
You guys got the running game going a little bit tonight. Jordan went over 100 yards. What did you like about this matchup and what was working tonight?
It was awesome. I mean, they were playing a lot of zone and they were playing really soft defense, taking away some of our downfield throws, and just we spread them out a little bit. And I think the O-line did a great job controlling line of scrimmage, open up holes for Jay, and Jay ran his tail off, man. That's what we expect out of 2-4, man. He kind of like the defense, he made up his nine tonight when he touched the ball that he was going to be he was just going to run hard and finish runs and pick up tough yards for this offense. So I'm very proud of him and the offensive line and how they were able to be a big part of this win tonight.
Mitch, what can you say about the job you guys did on Aaron Donald, who's, you know, one of those few guys that can change a game by himself?
Yeah, for sure. We had a plan for him, and they got a good defense all the way around, and we had a plan for Donald, and the O-line did a great job just keeping him in check all night, and that's what we wanted to do. Obviously, we had some turnovers, which falls on me, but we didn't have any game destructive plays that he usually causes, so we that's something that we definitely kept in the back of our minds. If we just play smart, take care of the football, and create positive plays on offense and get a few more scores, then we can come out and get a W, which we did. But we definitely want to score more, but we did what we had to do and didn't give up any game-changing plays to Donald, and the defense did the rest.
Mitch, you've talked to us about being self-critical of your game. It's such a big night for you guys, such a big win. Is it harder to be kind of self-critical after a game like this for you?
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed in myself in the way I played, especially being out 2 weeks. But I mean, it's hard to be down when you get such a big win like that. You just got to put your own selfish thoughts about how you played aside, because that is selfish. If you played well, if you played bad, it's still bad thinking about yourself. We got such a huge team win, so I was still in the locker room dancing with the guys, celebrating the big win, hugs all around, and it's a privilege to be a part of this team, especially a leader on this team. So I mean, I'll get everything corrected. I'm going to go back to work this week, just work really hard to get it corrected and play a lot better. But I'm just very proud of the way the team had my back, and we're still going to celebrate because it's big for this organization.
Mitch, how was it to go out there and get hit for the first time, or to slide, just to have some contact after missing some time?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said before, it sucked being out 2 weeks, but I mean, the shoulder really wasn't bothering me at all. Mindset or anything like that. I was going to go out there, try to play my game and do what I had to do for my team. But it felt good. It just felt good to be out there. And I mean, I really didn't get hit that much. I was getting down on some of my runs, and the O-line did a great job taking care of me when I went to drop back. So the offensive line, they really played great tonight. We got the run game going. They protected me back there. I just got to make better decisions with the football, but it just felt good to be back out there.
You guys scored the only touchdown of the game after the safety. How big of a turning point was that? Safety.
Huge turning point, huge momentum shift. We kind of knew if we went down and put up another score that, I mean, the defense could carry us the rest of the way, which they did all night long. But it was a big score in the game. It really got us going on offense a little bit and opened some things up on the outside, especially the run game. But yeah, when you get those momentum swings, you just got to make the most of them. And I mean, I can't say enough about the crowd tonight either. They helped a big part in momentum, just being loud when the defense is out there. They really showed up in a big way tonight, and they deserve this win as much as we do. So great job by the crowd, great team win, and we just got to get better and go from here.
Mitch, what's the name of that play to Bradley?
They didn't tell you yet?
They may have. I didn't get the Bradley.
Can I tell them?
And now you told.
Okay.
Santa's sleigh.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
I imagine you're not fearing.
Presents down the chimney.
I imagine you're not fearing getting much pressure there with the number of big bodies you had.
Oh, no, what? God, we got some big boys in there. It was an awesome play. When we first installed it, we're like, we're going to put this one in the incubator. So that means we install a play and like maybe we'll practice it each week. But literally, we'll put that play in. And I was like, hey, if we get down there, we need to call this. This is going to work. And so, yeah, Santa's sleigh. It came a little early.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Mitch.
All right, so there's the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, a game he obviously struggled in and needs to play better. I mean, I don't know what more there is. There's people jumping off the bandwagon. I had to defend him again in the post-game show. Whatever. Here's where I stand. I'm not going to give up on Mitch Trubisky until he is through his second season in this offense, okay? Because the reality is that's where Pat Mahomes is. And quite frankly, Mahomes is doing stuff that more than likely, even though it's still a relatively small sample size, he's probably going to be better overall.
I saw a stat coming into this week's games where his 41 touchdown passes are the same amount that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have combined.
Oh, that might be true, yeah.
So, like, what he's doing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, Peyton Manning's not throwing for 50 touchdowns every single season. Same with Tom Brady. What did Tom Brady have? 58?
Yeah.
That does not happen every single year. We'll see what happens. Yes, I think he's a special player. I mean, obviously, to get to 41 touchdowns is phenomenal. But with you.
It's his second year in the system, and he had an unbelievable situation last year where he got to sit behind Alex Smith, okay? It's still not really fair to compare the situations. It's looking less and less likely every week that goes by that Trubisky's going to be that good. Fine. But I'll say again, I mean, they don't really need him to be that good.
Come on. The Chargers gave up on Drew Brees.
Yeah.
After a Pro Bowl season. Maybe 2 years removed from a Pro Bowl season, but the point is there.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want him to look this bad in games, but he rarely has. I mean, this is probably his worst game of the season. But he's coming off a two-week layoff. I guess these are excuses, whatever. The point is, let's see him. I want to see him get another offseason and really dive into the system next year, because the games where he's looked comfortable and been in control and goes through his progressions and his mechanics are good, he looks good. He looks more than capable. He fits it through the keyhole.
Well, people, look,
today he didn't throw it through the keyhole.
No, he threw it over the door, I would say. Yeah. But look, him and Matt Nagy have not even worked together for one calendar year.
That's true.
Not one calendar year.
It's really only been like 7 months.
Yeah.
From when they're actually able to start to get out there and do stuff in the offseason.
Don't underrate the process. And I get a lot of this are old Bears players. I get that. And look, I don't know if their criticisms are more valid than a GM of the Browns for 1 year, but just saying, this could be a process. This should have been expected to be a process, and it wasn't going to be pretty every single game.
Yep. We should get out of here.
It's late. Pat Finley's being loud in the suite next door.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys...
I don't think he's talking to anybody. I think he's just talking.
Talking to himself?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
I don't hear another voice.
It doesn't surprise me.
Now listen, for a second. Oh, there is someone else. No, I can't hear it. No, we'll just say he's talking to himself.
Who would he be talking to? I hope our listeners can hear some of that. Otherwise, it sounds really weird. Anyway, we can hear Pat Finley through a wall right now.
He's really pumped up about bridal flower tosses. And
he's got way too much energy for 1 a.m. I got to be honest.
Yes.
All right. Let's get out of here. What a win for the Bears.
Episode 200.
Fitting that this was episode 200. Think about how far they've come since episode 1. And us, too.
Wait, was episode 1 Mark Trestman? Yes.
No, because this is our fourth season, so it would have been all 3 years.
No, but you started them before, did you not?
No, I started in camp, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it would have been the first season of John Fox. Well, I would like to see a camera on John Fox as Matt Nagy runs Santa's sleigh.
Well, you better have an ambulance nearby. Jesus.
All right, let's get out of here. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Voicemails, you can still call in. 312-222-5050 is the phone number. Should be fun on Thursday's episode later this week to hear those and your reaction to this game. Can't wait to hear that. Tell your friends about the pod. Subscribe.
Hey, I had a guy... Some guy came up to me doing the pregame show and said he listens to all our episodes. He's listened since day one, but he has yet to rate and subscribe. Or make a comment. Maybe he rates. Maybe he has rated and subscribed. Do it.
Unacceptable. Rate it and leave a review. You got to do that. Shout out to the guy I ran into at breakfast this morning.
What did he say?
And he just said hi and then wanted to know if the Bears were going to win. And I told him yes. So I feel like I didn't lie to him.
Did you tell him that Jordan Howard's going to rush for 101 yards?
No. I like to be rational about my predictions.
Hey, oh, you?
Like 350 yards and four touchdowns for Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, you and
completely rational.
Let's go.
Good night, everybody. Enjoy the victory. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.